Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is content added throughout the week, so swing on over there and check stuff out. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? All right, so I don't know, Dan. What is going on today? I guess the big news out of our favorite sport is David Price has to go get a second opinion on his throwing elbow.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up the David Price rule of when there's a man on third, he needs to signal umpires whether he's pitching from the stretch or not.
I was trying to remember what they described it as. I got to pull up the article here just to see if they have the definition of what they're calling it. So,
sore arm?
He had left forearm discomfort. So that's what they're describing it as. And he is off to see Dr. James Andrews. So,
that's not fair.
Never something you want to have to hear one of your pitchers say. You know, Price has been relatively, you know, injury-free throughout his career. You know, nothing ever major. You know, he's never been a Tommy John guy or anything like that. So, you know, I guess you wonder, is, you know, he having a breakdown here?
I mean, I wouldn't say it break down, but I mean, you definitely want the second opinion for precautionary purposes.
Yeah, you know, it's always better to, you know, take that look and, you know, obviously, you know, discomfort, you know, could be many things. You know, it's not going to scream, you know, Tommy John right away or anything like that. But, this has to be their biggest fear, you know, is losing one of what would be their big three in Price, Sale, and Porcello. You know, I know they brought six starters into camp, but you didn't really want to go that route, did you?
No, you don't, but you know, better to take care of it now. I mean, it's worse than the worst.
Yeah,
you don't have it for 30 to 60 days. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and, you know, they got 38 pitches in a simulated game on Tuesday instead of making his first start Sunday. So, you know, we'll have to see how things go. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of things this could be, who knows. You know, so yeah, we'll just gotta wait and see with it. But yeah, that's, you know, front and center. That was kind of the one thing that, you know, that popped up, because that could be a huge deal for them. You know, and then, you know, of course, while we're on baseball, I don't know if you saw this one while you were at work, but the Cubs have named John Lester their opening day starter. That's kind of what you expected, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that one for sure off that list they went through.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, he was. Well, yeah, did they have him as a for sure, or did they have him as a? I don't remember, because there was some talk about could it be Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, I think they weren't. You know, he wasn't in the lock, but I think you and I had him as a lock. What I did find interesting, maybe not interesting, but just a little article on John Lackey stating that he will not have a Rossi retirement year type deal. You know, I mean, if Ross did it, I didn't really notice, considering, you know, Big Poppy or Derek Jeter's farewell tours, or, you know, even Chipper Jones. So, but John Lackey, and I respect the hell out of this, because I think it's the way I would have done it. He says, no, I will never have a farewell tour. If I retire, you just won't see me next year.
Yeah, you know, there are plenty of guys who actually go out that way. You know, some guys just say, hey, you know, yeah, I'm not playing anymore. You know, the heck with it. You know, and they, you know, they don't want to come back and do the big, you know, retirement tour, so to speak. I don't have any real issue with, you know, guys doing that. You know, I mean, especially the guys, you know, like you mentioned, you know, Jeter and David Ortiz and, you know, Chipper Jones. You know, the David Ross thing was confusing for me all of last year. I didn't understand that at all. I'm actually waiting for the ceremony where they retire his number as a Cub, because I don't know what the heck went on there. So, but, yeah, you know, while we're on kind of the Cubs and Lackey and all this stuff, will this be the first season you watch Dancing with the Stars because David Ross is on it?
No, but, I mean, I did see whoever his dance partner is. I forgot her name already. She tweeted out a picture, and I would rather watch it for her than he.
Yeah, I am wondering if it's going to be one of those cases where even if he's a bad dancer, he does well because Cub fans will call and vote for him, or text and vote for him, or, you know, email and vote for him. I know they take votes about 8,000 different ways. So I wonder if he'll just continue to kind of move along, even if he completely sucks. I know, what was it? The politician's daughter, Palin, Bristol Palin. She went a long way, even though she wasn't a very good dancer, because for whatever reason, people just kept voting for her.
Yeah.
So, you
know,
I
don't think about,
you know.
I don't watch the show that all that much. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I used to try to do is when the athletes were on, I used to try to catch their performances and see how they would do. So, you know, I've seen, like, you know, the Emmitt Smiths and the Jerry Rices and, like, Jacoby Jones, the wide receiver. I think he was a Raven at the time. Was really good, but the last few years I haven't even bothered to do that, and I seriously doubt I'm going to be tuning in to try to catch David Ross. So,
no, I mean, the only way I'd actually watch it is if they had, like, you know, and you'll laugh at this, a highlight show for it. I don't care. I don't care about all the backstage or watching them train. I'd rather just see the dances get over with.
Yeah, I don't even, you know, realize some of the stuff they do, but yeah, I know they go into, don't they, like, recap the week or whatever when they're trying to learn the deal? And I'm sure it's worth a laugh, and I'm sure, you know, his former Cub teammates are gonna get quite a kick out of it. So,
we'll see how it goes. If he's doing that, then how is he retaining his position as special assistant to the blah, blah, blah of the Chicago Cubs?
Well, you know, I could ask you the same thing. We were talking a little bit about Ryan Dempster off the air. He's pitching for Canada in the World Baseball Classic. How does he do that? And, you know, he's a special assistant to the general manager. So,
well, I mean,
you know,
he's still doing baseball.
You know, again, what do these guys do?
He could technically be recruiting.
Yeah, I don't know, because most guys are signed with other teams. So, you know, that would be tampering. It wouldn't be recruiting.
Yeah, well, I mean, making friends doesn't always hurt.
I don't think
it's not like the entire Canadian team is going to be made up of MLB players.
You know, yeah, actually, I think most of them are now. You know, if they're not MLB players, they're minor league players. You know, there are very few. You know, Dempster is one of the few guys who's actually technically a free agent. You know, because I was looking at the roster the other day.
Does that mean Johnny Damon is going to come out of retirement and play for Taiwan again?
He might. You know, I don't believe he's on the roster. You know, I didn't see. I think Dempster was the only older former player like that that I thought I saw. There might be some other ones hiding somewhere, but I heard a really interesting idea when it came to that from Peter Gammons, threw this out there. You know, got all these teams, Dan, and obviously, you know, there's still issues with Cuba and, you know, America, even though things are a little better than what they were, but you know, shouldn't there be a Cuban-American team in this league or in this tournament?
I mean, that confused. An American-based Cuban team, or?
Yeah, you know, all the players who, you know, all the players who basically defect over here become American citizens, but really they're Cuban.
Yeah.
So shouldn't they put together, technically it would be an American team, but just made up of the Cuban players. So, you know, there would be guys, you know, like obviously Yasiel Puig is the first guy who comes to mind, but, you know, there are quite a few, Jose Abreu, you know, you could really fill up, you know, believe it or not, Eric Hosmer, his mother is from Cuba. You know, Nolan Arenado is Cuban. You know, they could field quite a team if they actually decided to put it together. I mean, I doubt they ever will because, you know, they would want these guys on, obviously, the American team. But, you know, is it something they should look at to maybe make the tournament better?
No, because this is it. You know, that's what I was going to tell you or ask you. Ryan Dempster pitching for Canada, doesn't that more or less help signify the end? Because talk to them, this is going to be the last. WBC.
Oh, is this the last one?
That's what everyone's speculating. No one's come out and said it.
Oh.
But any player that's defected to America or is an American citizen essentially should play for the American team. I mean, as sensitive and touchy as people are today, do you think all Cuban American team would upset everybody?
No, you know, because players do this all the time. You know, like you mentioned, Johnny Damon played for Taiwan. Didn't Anthony Rizzo play for Italy?
Yeah,
you know, one year
they played for that team. They didn't play for an Italian American team.
Well, yeah, but this, you know, I mean, in essence, this would be a Cuban team, you know, made up of guys of Cuban descent. You know, it would be the same, you know, it would basically be closer, you know, it would be closer, these guys would be closer than Cuba than either Anthony Rizzo was to Italy or Johnny Damon was to Taiwan.
Yeah, but did they not allow the Cubans to play this year?
The Cubans don't like to participate in these kind of things. I know they're not in this year. They were in some of them, but for whatever reason, they're not in this one.
Well, that's what I meant. I mean, they were in. Why do you think Jonas? That's how Jonas got his contract. That's how we saw the influx of
right. Well,
you, players after the 2013 WBC.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I, you know, obviously with the way, you know, things go there, you know, they don't. You know, they don't like to do a lot of traveling overseas, basically. But now they are listed here as one of the teams in the tournament. So maybe they are in.
You know what I mean? That's why it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. So
they already have a QT.
Yeah, you know, because I thought the way they were talking is they just didn't have a team, but yeah, they're listed here as having a team. So then, yeah, I'm not as all for that as I was. I thought maybe Cuba wasn't playing or something, because I know they have bowed out of the international competitions before. So.
Yeah, now they're set to play Japan next week.
Yeah. So, well, you know, then, yeah, like, you know, yeah, they made it seem, you know, obviously I didn't do a whole bunch of research into it, but, yeah, I was surprised that, you know, they made it seem like they weren't, you know, they weren't participating, so.
Well, I mean, I get it, because technically with the way Cuba and American relations are, they can't, you know, Jose Abreu and said others aren't going to be able to play for the Cuban team. You know,
right.
They're not allowed to attack, they'll be allowed to, you know. I mean, they're American. So I think it would be, I don't know, I think you would insult Cuba more by doing that.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, it sounded like a good idea until I realized Cuba had a team. So now it just seems kind of redundant. You know, why
yeah.
do you need two Cuban teams? You know, that doesn't make sense to me now. But, yeah, I thought they were talking that it was just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, you know, we've, you know, this would be a nice way to replace the Cuban team. And, yeah, I would agree with that. But, yeah, if they're in it, it's stupid to have a second one, I think.
Yeah, and my interpretation, and I get why you have to add, you know, Rizzo to the Italian team, which I'm double checking right now to see if they're even involved. But, you know, I was wrong. It wasn't Taiwan. It was the Chinese Taipei team that I think Johnny Damon played for.
Yeah.
Italy's represented Colombia, Cuba, Dominican, Israel, Mexico, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. Australia, I mean, all the baseball-loving countries are represented. But, you know, it was my impression that this was, obviously to showcase the sport on a global front, but to kind of let us as Americans see, you know, the stars from all these other places. And I know to get the Americans to watch you, you got to put Rizzo in with Italy, and Johnny Cueto with the DR. But I mean, I think they've tried it, and I don't really know that it works. You know, this was supposed to be the alternative to the Olympics, but I think with the shortened schedule and the fact that it almost interferes with regular baseball or MLB, I don't think it's going to work trying to put it on a, you know, global platform while still trying to use the stars of the MLB.
No, it's a terrible time for it. You know, this couldn't be a worse time than, you know, you plug it in while spring training is going on. Okay, that's wonderful. You know, I mean, you know, nobody's quite ready for full-time in-your-face baseball just yet. And, you know, and then they're, you know, basically beating you over the head with it. you know, hear, you know, hey, look, here's all the, you know, all these guys, and look at these guys from here or, you know, there. So,
I mean, you know, initially I really liked the concept, but it just was something we really couldn't keep up with. Much as I'd love to, I mean, I'm not tuning in, but, you know, you never know. Maybe I could put it on my computer and work now. But, you know, like I said, Cuba is up against Japan on March 7th. But we'll have to be up very early as it starts at 4 a.m. Central.
Yeah, I kind of remember. I don't think I've watched any World Baseball Classic.
No, it doesn't get to the end when they make it to the America and they get to the final.
Yeah, I don't even think I watched those. You know, I'm just kind of waiting for regular season baseball to get going.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because that's right around the corner. You know. To be fair, a lot of these games are bad. You know, there are the teams that just can't compete. You know, I mean, it has been better as of late. But you know, there's always a team here or a team there that you look at and you just kind of wonder, well, what the hell are they doing here? So,
yeah, well,
but
that was the whole thing out of 2013 was the Cuban national team, and, you know, they tore it up. And then what did you see the next, you know, for the following couple of years was every major league team trying to grab as many Cubans as they could.
Yeah, well, you know, it almost seems like this is really just a cheap way for baseball to scout foreign players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get them all together on one stage and let us look at them. And then, you know, we'll decide who we like and who we're going to go after and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it doesn't really seem, you know, like it's anything else. It's just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, hey, look, here's this guy from this country and maybe we should sign him.
And not only that, you had American or Major League Baseball coaches in some of the ones where you're like, wait, why is he coaching that team?
Yeah. So yeah, you know, I think a lot of the, you know, what we describe as, you know, kind of non-baseball playing countries are coached by a lot of former major leaguers still, I think, to this point. You know, I'm not going to have to go through and get a list of the coaches and stuff, but I think a lot of them are still, yeah, you know, it's still that way. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, again, it's one of those things I, you know, for whatever reason, I've just never been interested in it. I don't know, you know, I couldn't pinpoint why. And I'm sure, you know, there's some great baseball played and, you know, you get to see a lot of these guys. But, you know, for whatever reason, it never caught my attention. I guess you would say it's never been something that I've really wanted to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll look this year and see if there's something, you know, that I.
Well, I mean,
you know, that I.
You have 100% access to it this year at MLB.tv.
But yeah, you know, that's if I even remember that I've got 100% access to it on MLB TV. So, you know, it's one of those, one of those fun things that I seem to forget from time to time that I can actually just turn it on and watch it. Now, do you know? I'm under the impression the MLB Network is showing games, but I really don't know. Do you know if they are?
I was looking at the bracket, but it doesn't say. I mean, they're round robin kind of, I guess, and the times are so obscure, and I'm sure they will. But I'm sure it won't, when it comes down to the qualifiers at the end, maybe it'll change things up. Or I'm sorry, the finals. Because they already had the qualifiers. The finals are in Los Angeles. So I'm sure that'll be broadcast on MLB.TV or MLB TV. But I know they're fully, every game is going to be on MLB.TV. So if you have your subscription, you just log in and look for the game.
Yeah, well, that'll be something, I guess. I don't know. You know, like I said, how much I'll actually do it. But, I guess it's an option. We'll have to see how that goes. But, just want to, one of those things. And, I don't know why. I mean, have you watched a lot of it since they've had it? I mean, this is what, the fourth or fifth year or something, isn't it?
Well, no, they only do it like every 3 or 4 years. They only do it every 4 years. It's almost like the Olympics. So they've only had, I think it was 2013. And I believe they did it in 2009, but I could be wrong. Because you remember the whole reason it started was because the Olympics kicked baseball out of the Olympics. So they wanted to put a world baseball thing together. So, I mean, I catch what I can, but, like you said, you're just kind of waiting for the regular season to start.
So, yeah, it's just, it's just kind of like, okay, let's, do this or do that or, see what this is or, but, I think it's time to move on.
I think it's just time to move on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to find something positive about it for me, and I can't come up with anything. So. just one of those things. But sadly, Dan.
It started back in 2006. So it did 2006, 2009, 2013, and then 2017. Which might be its demise.
Yeah. Sadly, you hadn't made a pick in a while, so we gave you a shot last night, and you lost. The Brooklyn Nets actually broke their six-game losing streak in Sacramento last night. They beat the Kings 109-100. So it didn't really go your way. We'll have to see there. Obviously there are, there's only three games tonight, so maybe we'll have to let you pick one of these and see if you can get a win. Got to get you on track for the baseball season. But tonight we have the Golden State Warriors at the Chicago Bulls. That's the first game on TNT. The Charlotte Hornets at the Phoenix Suns. The nightcap on TNT is the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Portland Trail Blazers. So. There you go.
And the Bulls streak is still, they haven't lost on TNT yet?
I don't know. Have they? I don't remember. So I know they just got embarrassed by the Nuggets. So I don't, know what's what.
Well, no, that doesn't matter. When they played on TNT, they haven't lost.
Oh, are they one of those teams?
Yeah. It was big news every week.
Yeah, I don't know. I think tonight that's probably going to end. Even without Kevin Durant, I think the Warriors will still have a pretty good shot of beating the Bulls tonight. So we'll have to see. Another one of those fun things. But Dan, actually back in 1962 on this day in the NBA, that's when Wilt Chamberlain had his 100-point game.
Did you see that game live in person?
It was 1962, Dan. I wasn't even alive yet. So, you know. So just one of those one of those feats that I doubt anybody will ever accomplish again. I don't see anybody scoring 100 points in a game, do you?
No. Boy, it's a slow day in sports.
I just saw that. I did hear an interesting thing. I'm trying to find out how they're gonna do this, but the NBA is looking to they want to add some more officials, and then they want to create what is called an officiating advisory council, along with keeping stats for the referees.
Oh,
and I'm looking at this. They have the stats. They actually want to continue to keep track of which refs have called which fouls. And it's actually kind of interesting that they're trying to make the game better, you know, by helping the officials get the calls correct more often, which is, you know, nice to see. But oddly, they're getting pushback from the refs and their union. And it's like, well, no, guys, they're not saying you're bad at your job. They're just trying to help you do it better. So I don't know what'll actually happen or how they'll actually do it, but you know, I'm kind of all for, you know, anything that helps the refs do a better job. I mean, it's a difficult job, and I don't know why they wouldn't want the assistance.
Well, I think that they look at it and they don't want to be accountable.
Yeah, and now here's this council they're looking to put together. Here's the members they have. It's retired General Martin E. Dempsey, who's chairman of USA Basketball, former U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan, and then former players and analysts Doug Collins and Kenny Smith, along with longtime referee or former referee Steve Jaffe. The council will also include current players, coaches, and referees to be named later. So, you know, again, like I said, it's kind of an interesting concept. I don't know how much of it'll get off the ground, but, you know, like the guy I heard giving the interview today, and I wish I remembered his name when I saw it, but he was talking about how they're going to use, oh, God, my age is showing here, Dan. What's
the internet?
The deal. No, you put the glasses on and if you're playing a game. What do they call it?
VR goggles?
Yeah, 3D? Virtual reality. Thank you. Yeah, they're going to use virtual reality to help improve the refs. You know, game plan, and I guess they also want to bring this to arenas and allow the fans what they would basically call the referee experience. It would give the fans the virtual reality shot to, like, pretend they're reffing a game and kind of see what the refs go through.
Well, I mean, several years ago, there was a prototype made by Google called Glass. They were supposed to be used for things like this. There is interesting because they weren't so much as VR goggles, but pretty much a glass on your face, almost like regular glasses, but almost like my grandma's gonna roll over. But my grandma used to wear those sunglasses that went over your glasses. You remember those back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Completely ridiculous. Yeah. They covered. Yeah. They're similar in essence to that, but obviously they were clear. So, I mean, it would be something to, it would be kind of cool. And they were actually putting games out for people to use, but, you know, it was a prototype. So unless you were selected, you're the only ones who have the Google Glass for those select people. So the rest of us never really got to play with it. So it's not a bad idea, but I think for one, the reviews are, again, almost like baseball. They're supposed to make that better with a 2-minute limit, whatever. But, you know, here's another league who has an instant replay that is probably the utmost ridiculous instant replay. They have a referee go back to the table and they spin a TV around and he watches. I mean, why not bust out one of those old Zeniths and just have that on the sidelines for the referees? Because it's the same thing. Again, you want to put together an advisory board. First of all, put together a replay board and have those guys up, you know, wherever NBA's headquarters, let's just say New York, at New York headquarters. And no, we shouldn't, you know, kind of like in baseball, you shouldn't be allowed to review this and that, you know, like balls and strikes. But, I mean, Big Jack, let's be honest. The whole reason people complain about the referees is because of the BS calls, the calls that don't make sense. I get it, it's live time, and you want to help them put this board together. You don't need to add any extra bodies on the floor. You need to have guys in a room, a board in a room, watching these games. So when a guy like LeBron James flops after his own teammate elbows him in the face, and the guy on the referee on the floor calls a technical, we can stop the game because he's got a piece in his ear that we all know about that, you know, is on a public channel, I guess, so that we can make sure they're not cheating, or not so much cheating, but guiding the game in a certain direction. Then we can have a guy in his ear going, hey, that was not a foul, and we can reverse it. Because, I mean, isn't that what it comes down to? Adam Silver's come out and said, yeah, we watched this game, and, you know, the fouls to Kevin Durant weren't right, even in the finals. Fouling out Steph Curry. When did Steph Curry ever foul out of anything? Oh, but it's the finals and the Cavs are going to lose and he just so happens to foul out of a game. Did I jump too many topics at once, though?
No. You were fine. Well, you know, and maybe that's one of the things they'll actually look at, you know, if they put this together, is how to, you know, maybe make replay a little quicker or, you know, things like that. Because, you know, obviously that's the one thing, you know, that needs to be fixed. It's a terrible, terrible system they use. It needs to be a lot faster. And, you know, who knows? You know, that could be a plus. And, you know, again, maybe it's something that'll work out. So,
I mean, because the fans in the nosebleeds have already seen the replay on the big, you know, the big screens that they've got in the middle of the arena. So they already know. Everyone in the nosebleeds already knows that it should be, you know, whatever way it's supposed to go. But yeah, we've got a referee down on the floor looking at a barely what looks like a 32-inch TV, maybe 28.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. You know, that some technical guy has to plug in. You got to turn it around. You know, it's ridiculous. It's almost as bad as, you know, any Major League Baseball manager standing with his foot on the top step while his bench coach is next to him yelling down the tunnel. Should we call it? You know. No, we're not going to do the instant replay because we know we're not going to win. Well, I mean, if life was that way, we'd all live that way, where we'd only make the decisions that we know are going to work in our favor.
Yes. That would be nice. How do we do that?
I don't join the MLB.
Yes, yeah, is that how we do it? Okay, well, that's cool.
So, but I do think, you know, like you said, that the NBA is smart and they're going in the right direction. If that's what they can incorporate, it obviously won't happen next season. I think, like you said, the referees unions are getting a little, would you say, butthurt about it?
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, the refs and, you know, obviously their union is going to support them. You know, I guess like everybody else, I mean, you don't want every mistake you made pointed out. You know, I mean, but that's just kind of the nature of the job or being married, depending on how you look at it. I mean, you know.
But I mean, but like you said, you don't need this advisory board or committee point out your problems. I mean, you and I aren't diehards, and unless one of us buys a winning lotto ticket, neither one of us in our lifetime are going to be sitting courtside for at least 40 games, you know, knowing that Joe Bob, the referee, I remember when you did this, and we're going to hound him for 6 months, you know. But, I mean, even with social media, the way TV is and everything today, a referee makes a mistake, well, he could be put on, you know, it could go viral. It could be all over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You know, it's everywhere. And even though it's not the NBA reprimanding him, you know, you're getting that fame that you don't want from the public because you made a mistake. So, I mean, you're going to get called on it. Either way, I'd rather it be in a professional manner.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I'm all for it if it's going to improve the game, you know, or improve the officiating.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't want to listen. You know, we get enough of it when a call goes against the superstar anyways. I don't need to hear this over and over from anybody else. So... you know, we'll have to see what if or what they actually end up doing with it. But, you know, it maybe it'll help. Now, we did have a couple official signings today, Dan. Matt Barnes officially signed with the Warriors. He'll actually play tonight against the Bulls. And Andrew Bogut is now officially a Cleveland Cavalier. To make room for Bogut, the Cavaliers waived Jordan McRae. So, you know, LeBron kind of got everything he wanted without the Cavaliers having to make a move. Obviously, they upped their salary, you know, their luxury tax a little more, signing Darren Williams and Andrew Bogut, but, you know, probably not too much as a trade would have cost them. Now, you know, interestingly, last night, it was kind of strange, Dan. You know, the Celtics beat the Cavaliers, and I thought, well, you know, that's a really good win for Boston. You know, it can instill a little confidence in them. And I must be the idiot here, Dan, because this win got crapped all over all day on every sports network I watched. You know, all it was, well, you know, oh, it means nothing. It's just the regular season. And part of the thing they were pointing to is the last play of the game for Cleveland. They miss a jumper and the ball gets tipped out to LeBron at the three-point line. He pumps one guy into the air. The guy goes flying by him. Instead of taking the three, he passes off to Darren Williams, who's wide open in the corner for a three, and Williams misses. Would have been the game winner. Now, everybody was saying, well, you know, if it was a playoff game, you know, LeBron takes that shot and the Cavaliers win. Dan, LeBron makes every shot he takes? Is that what I get out of this? All right, now you can answer my question, Dan. So,
I think that's why he passed the ball off, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not really a three-point guy.
So, yeah, you know, and it was very strange listening to these people. Now, you know, it's just a regular season win, but, you know, when you're a team like Boston, you know, it's going to mean a little something to you. Because, you know, if you're going to go, obviously, if you're going to get out of the Eastern Conference, you're probably going to have to beat the Cavaliers in a series at some point in time. So, you know, the more you can beat them, even in the regular season, doesn't that kind of build your confidence for when you face them in a playoff series?
It would build my confidence.
So, yeah, that's what I kind of thought. And it was, you know, it was the weirdest thing just listening to these guys. You know, all day, it was like it didn't matter what show or who the so-called NBA expert was. It was just immediately, no, it didn't mean anything. Well, wait, why didn't it mean anything? Well, you know, it's just the regular season and, oh, you know, okay, well, let's throw out all these wins then and just draw the playoff team's hats out of the, you know, draw their names out of a hat. you know, I mean, can we at least pretend there's a little competition for LeBron and the Cavaliers? I mean, the Wizards did just beat the Warriors the other day. You know, I think, you know, and I don't expect the Wizards or the Celtics to knock the Cavaliers out of the playoffs. I would just love to see them give them a good series, wouldn't you?
But yeah, well, I mean, it kind of goes back to what Charles Barkley says, when we shouldn't just have three good teams in the league.
Right.
I mean, you know, like you said, you know, maybe it doesn't mean the most, but at the same time, why would a casual NBA fan care to watch anything that isn't LeBron and company or the Warriors, when you've got all those people who cover the sport just trashing the other teams like they don't mean anything? So, you know, therein lies part of the issue.
Yeah, that was, you know, you kind of made my point that I didn't really bring up. I mean, imagine if you're a casual, or even, you know, less than a casual viewer. Maybe you only watch bits and pieces of when the local team plays. If you were to catch one of these highlights and you were listening to this expert explain to you how meaningless a regular season game is, why would you ever tune in again if you're that guy? Or girl. It's, you know, girls do watch basketball. So,
I mean, that's, I think the big thing we've got to ask ourselves. I mean, I wish you had the name of these experts. We can tweet them. And we can not only tweet them, but, you know, bring that up to Adam Silver. How can you expect your game to be meaningful when the people who cover your game, employed by the people that have paid you tons of money to put your game on TV, how can you make the regular season enjoyable and watchable when everyone's discrediting it? I mean, we discredit
the
playoffs.
You know, well, you know, I mean, you know how I am. I mean, I get through a lot of NBA regular season anyways. If you're going to tell me these games are meaningless, okay, cool. I'll see you in June when the Cavaliers and the Warriors meet in the finals. You know, why do I have to stick around for these remaining, you know, I think each game has right around, you know, each team has right around 20 games left or so. You know, why do I need to be here for this? You know, if they don't mean anything, hey, cool, great. Let's, you know, let's get on to some, you know, let's watch the NHL. Maybe those games mean something. But yeah, it was just kind of the weirdest thing, you know, listening to these people. And again, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, this means the Celtics will knock them out of the playoffs. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I mean, there's probably a better chance they won't, because, you know, I mean, let's face it, in the playoffs, the superstars get the calls, and LeBron is going to get every call under the sun, because you and I also both know that the NBA wants to see the Cavaliers and the Warriors in the finals against each other again, and they're going to do everything in their power to make that happen. You know, whether it's suspend a superstar, Draymond Green, for a very important game five, or, you know, maybe the foul displacements are a little off, and maybe the referee panel can talk about that when they all get together, kind of rounding back to what we started on this topic as. So, you know, I mean, you know, you're not stupid. I'm not stupid. We know what's going on. It's clear that we're going to get Cavs Warriors unless somehow there's a huge upset. You know, that's why I didn't even bother having us make NBA predictions, because, you know, it's a waste of time to pick anybody else. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, think, you know, just kind of think, it's like, yeah, okay, you know, we get, you know, you look at teams, it's like, yeah, okay, you know, some, there are teams that have a chance. You know, we mentioned, obviously, you know, the Cavs and the Wizards in the East. And, you know, obviously the Spurs have a chance. And, you know, the Rockets look to be much improved. Maybe, you know, maybe they have a, you know, maybe they have an outside shot. But, you know, I mean, Dan, if you're a betting man, are you betting on anybody but Cavs and Warriors in the finals?
No.
So. And, yeah, just one of those things. But all right, let's see what's on the NHL schedule tonight here, Dan. We have a few more games tonight than last night. We got the New York Rangers at the Boston Bruins. That's actually the NBCSN game tonight. The Arizona Coyotes at the Buffalo Sabres, Florida Panthers at the Philadelphia Flyers, the New Jersey Devils at the Washington Capitals, the Minnesota Wild at the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Nashville Predators at the Montreal Canadiens, the Colorado Avalanche at the Ottawa Senators, the New York Islanders at the Dallas Stars, the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Los Angeles Kings, and the Vancouver Canucks at the San Jose Sharks. Yeah, last night it was pretty funny. I saw your tweet. I guess we sort of almost kind of called that Patrick Kane hat trick.
I mean, pretty much.
You know,
I just thought it was funny.
You know,
focus so much on it.
Well, you know, what was really funny is, you know, I sent you that tweet about Pittsburgh dominating the Blackhawks in the second period. It just seemed like the Hawks couldn't get the puck out of their own end. And then literally, or, you know, figuratively, literally, 30 seconds after I sent you the tweet, Patrick Kane scored his first goal, and it was 1-0 Blackhawks. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that tweet's meaningless now. So, you know, it was just kind of like, but I did see today, Dan, a lot of the experts agreed with us that the Washington Capitals going out and getting Shattenkirk for their defense means that they're definitely going for it this year. You know, they didn't have an issue with the 1 year, you know, the remaining, well, whatever, couple months left on his deal. So maybe you and I got something right.
Yeah, especially for two guys that aren't huge hockey.
So yeah, I got a kick out of that when they were talking about that. I was like, hey, wait a minute, we talked about that right away yesterday. So, you know, I guess maybe occasionally we get something right every once in a while. So, and, you know, I did see, Dan, the Las Vegas Golden Knights are now as of Wednesday, they were officially a member of the NHL, and they actually would have been allowed to make trades. Now, they didn't make any, but they would have actually been allowed to basically deal draft picks or, you know, something to that extent, because obviously they don't have any actual players. But yeah, you know, June will be the, you know, expansion draft. So I guess they're already to go. So
I was just surprised they didn't add another team.
Yeah, I wonder if they're looking somewhere to get that even number. You know, I know there, you know, have been cities interested. You know, I heard that Hartford would very much like a team back. And there was one other city at the Eastern Seaboard there that was interested in the team. And I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, I thought they would go with the even number. Maybe they just didn't want to add two teams at once.
Probably. I mean, you know what I would like to see already. Give me a reason to go to Hartford.
Yes. So,
why don't they?
You want to see Alex Ovechkin what? Drafted by the Golden Knights? So you got a reason to go to Vegas? Oh, so.
No, bring the Whalers back to Hartford.
So, I wonder if they would call them the Whalers back in Hartford. So.
Yeah, it's probably not politically correct.
Obviously. So, you know, you could tick off, you know, fat people and, you know, cruelty to, you know, PETA at the same time. So there you go. You could kill two birds with one stone. So how perfect would that be for you?
I bet you they won't take that land.
No, you would think that was pretty failed. You know, and I'm trying to think where else, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, you could probably pick any Canadian city and, you know, pluck a team down there if they were looking, you know, that doesn't have one. So, but yeah, I'll be interested to see if they add, you know, upcoming here, how this goes. So, but yeah, that could be interesting. Now, I did see, Dan, this is actually the first time P.K. Subban, who now plays for your future home team, the National Predators, this will be the first time he gets to go back to Montreal since he got traded. So I'm guessing he'll get a wonderful round of applause there. You know, obviously he was a really good player for them. So.
Well, they took their defensive guy, right? Shea Weber.
Yeah, they swapped Subban for Shea Weber. So. Just kind of the straight up swap like that. And I know Subban has battled some injuries and stuff this year, but he's, he'll play tonight. So I'm sure he'll get a nice ovation from the Canadian fans. And then after that, if he scores, they'll boo him off the ice. So there you go. But yeah, now are you going to partake in Bulls Warriors tonight, or do you think it's just going to be a gigantic blowout?
No, the first half should be fun. But after
that was the big talk. You know, they were like, how many points are the Warriors going to beat the Bulls by? And I do know, you know, the Bulls do play better against better competition normally. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how they'll do tonight or how, you know, how it works out. So
the thing that confuses me about this team, one night they'll just light it up and hit three after three after three. And then you got a night like the other night where Denzel Valentine couldn't even get it.
They definitely are a up and down type of team, I guess could be the way to say it. That's one of the ways to look at it. It's kind of been their year. That's why they're hanging around at 500, you know, because that's just the kind of team they are. They play, you know, well. So, all right, if the music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. But don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do this all again. You know the deal while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check the cool stuff out there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. We'd really appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter as well, so hunt us down there. As always, thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.